Good morning. It is good to see you this morning. We are going to begin the service with the ordinance of baptism, and it is always a privilege to do so. So we encourage you to point your attention this way. I'm going to call Logan Dunbar down. So Logan, come on. Logan, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
What is your testimony?
I feel like I want to follow Romans 10:9, which is say with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe with your heart God raised him from the dead, and then you will be saved.
Amen. All right, brother. Well, because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and it's your desire to follow him in this obedience of baptism, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. What a joy. Watch these young ones. I've been here 10 years. I get to watch these little ones grow up and then come to a place of faith, and it is always a marvel, and appreciate the privilege. I'm going to pray an invocation prayer. I ask you to join me at this time. Father, we are humbled before you this morning and thank you for being Creator God. We thank you, Father, that you have made the way of salvation by sending your Son Jesus to come to this world and die for our sin. We thank you, Father, that you raised him back to life so that all who would believe and call upon the name of Jesus and believe that he's raised from the dead shall be saved. Lord God, we thank you for such a salvation. We pray, thanking you for the life that you're impacting in this young man. We ask you, Father, to continue to equip his parents to know you and to instruct him and how he can grow in the image of Jesus. We pray, Father, that we as a church will be mindful of our part. We pray this morning, Father, also that as we combine our hearts and our thoughts together, that you would fill us with your Spirit and draw us close to you and one another as we worship our God who's eternal and has made the way of eternity for us. Lord God, may you receive our worship this morning. You're worthy. And may it be pleasing to your ears. Stir us up, Father. Fill us with your Spirit. And Lord God, bless as we commune with you. It's to your glory that we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, church. Wow, y'all sound so excited. Good morning.
Good morning.
We just experienced something wonderful. Amen. Amen. In Romans 6:4. It says, therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in the newness of life. And that's what Logan just declared. He declared that to the world, to the church, and to the enemy, that he is held by the Father above. And that's something to be excited for him about, for us as a body of believers who he is now a part of our local body. Not now because he was baptized necessarily, but when he received Christ, now he's proclaimed it to us. And so I want to invite you, if you have received that same joy of newness of life, stand with us. We're going to celebrate this morning of that.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you.
I was breathing, but I wasn't alive.
I was breathing, but not alive. And all my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. 'Cause when you called my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Amen. Now your mercy has saved my soul, Lord.
Now your mercy has saved my soul. And now your freedom is all that I know. Only you made new, Jesus, when I met you. Darkness into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
This is our testimony. We needed him, there's no other way.
I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me citizen of heaven. And I was broken, you were my healing, now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, when you called my name. I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that that is our testimony. Thank you for this day and the day that you saved all the souls in this building that are yours. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for your great power that you came and saw us when we were sinners, and you still loved us and brought us out of that darkness into light. Thank you for being the way maker. Thank you for not leaving us after you saved us, but walking through us in the sanctifying process. When life is hard, when life is good, you're still there, and we get to celebrate that today. Thank you. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.
Here, moving in our midst, I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place, I worship you, I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst, I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place, I worship you, I worship you. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, Lord, I worship you. 'Cause you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 God, that is who you are. That is who you are. Yes, that is who you are. That is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are the waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. That is who you are. God, that is who you are. Yes, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. God, that is who you are. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
God and our Father, we come humbly before you, Lord. We thank you for your immense sacrifice in our behalf. Lord, we cannot deserve, and you gave freely. Father God, we always will remember our redemption was purchased by you and you alone on a cruel cross. You stretched your arms out and took on our sin. And when you rose from the dead, 3 days hence, you stretched out your arms and received us. Through the years, the ages, your gospel of love and forgiveness has been our clarion cry. Help us not forget. Lord God, now we ask that you'd bless this offering that we make to you, to give back to you, never to repay, for it cannot be done. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Allow me to read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures he makes me lie down. He restores my soul and leads me on for his name, for his great name. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever, and bless your home. Presence of my enemies, though the arrow flies and the terror of night is at my door, I trust you, Lord. Surely goodness, surely mercy. Right beside me all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever, and bless your holy name. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are on my side. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are on my side. Surely goodness, and I will dwell in your house forever and bless your holy name. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we would fear no evil because we know you walk by our side. And Lord, not just by our side, but you go before us. Just as you did to the cross. Lord, one that we could have borne, but not one that we could have paid the debt on. And Lord, as your children, as your sheep in your pasture, you lead us in your faithful goodness and your loving kindness that never ceases. Lord, let us remember these things and let us be encouraged by them. Let these truths of your word stir up affections for you deeper than any ocean. And Lord, as we open your word now together and as we take of the Lord's Supper later in the service, Lord, be glorified through it all. That's why we're here. It's to honor you. Lord Jesus, we pray all of these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you, praise team, leading us this morning. Before we partake of these elements before us in Lord's Supper, I want us to spend some time preparing for that table by examining a little verse, just a verse out of the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23, which you just heard in song and spoken in Scripture. But it makes reference there, I think, is of importance for us this morning as we prepare our hearts to be before this table of the Lord. And so allow me to read Psalm 23 in its completion, and then we will focus on verse 5 this morning in our preparation for taking of the supper. So stand together with me as we look at this beloved psalm. David, once a shepherd, then a king, writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Our Father and our God, our good shepherd, we yield to you this morning, thanking you for the privilege that it is to take a day aside to focus upon you and to worship you. And Lord, as this psalm reminds us, you are a provider of all things through all of life, even to your own presence at the end of life. I thank you, Father, for your provision. And I ask this morning, Father, that your Spirit would have freedom to move in our midst, and Lord God, to stir our hearts in spite of the weakness of this messenger, in spite of the circumstances of our life, Lord God, that we might hear you speak into our lives today. Be powerful. Lord God, show yourself. And we thank you in advance as we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So, we're here to remember. To remember the sacrifice of Christ, and I appreciate Brother Joe as he prayed before the offering time, our remembering what God has done through Christ Jesus to secure our salvation. Jesus paid a great price, his own life. And this supper was instituted by Christ for us to remember. That is exactly how Christ put it. He spoke to his disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me." To remember his sacrifice, his body given, his blood spilled. And for each of those who have repented of sin and have yielded to him and trusted him for salvation of your soul, recognizing he not only died for your sin, but he rose from the dead so that he might overcome death as well as sin. When you've trusted him, you enter into a special communion with the Father. And this time together at the table is to remember that sacrifice and remember the communion and remember the assurance of the promise for all that belong to him as a result of his great sacrifice. Jesus, when we spoke about this last time we met around this table, Jesus transformed that Jewish Passover into this New Testament ordinance, a remembrance. The Old Testament was a remembrance as well. If you remember, the Jews had been delivered by God's mighty hand to deliver them from Egypt's bondage. And he did it in miraculous ways. He showed 10 plagues, and the 10th one being the Passover, where the death angel was sent from God to come and to kill the firstborn of every household in the land of Egypt. But for those who trusted God and who took the Paschal lamb into their home for 4 days and then slaughtered it and took the blood of that lamb and put it over the doorposts of their entrance to their home, that devil would pass over and the firstborn of the home would be spared. That celebration included a lot more than that. They would eventually eat the meat of the Passover lamb. They would share in unleavened bread. There would be bitter herbs and spices. They would drink some cups of wine, the fruit of the vine. It would be their remembrance of God's deliverance and his promise to them. And Jesus transformed that into a remembrance for us to remember our deliverance and the one who brought it as well. One thing I want us to note in this verse 5 of this beautiful, beloved psalm, David says, "You have prepared a table before me." Even in the Old Testament time, there was this sense of communion coming before the Lord and being in an intimate setting with him, a table. Even before the law came, there was a sense of honor and glory to the Father and such worship that people would bring their animals to die. The very first offering was offered by God himself. In Genesis chapter 3, we find that God, after applying the curse to man because of their sin, he then made skins of cloth from animals for Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness. It was the first offering, and the believers, the followers of God, would follow that model. This was before the law ever came out, before Moses, for sure. In fact, the Passover meal was before the law. The Israelites were still in Egypt. God spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, "Let's get this observance on board, the people on board with this observance, and they're to do it." And it's supposed to be something that they do for generations. This is how God applied it. I will tell you that did not happen. If you read the history of Israel, when Joshua and the elders had died, the people began to forget about God. Judges says that every man did what was right in his own eyes. We have no inkling of a mention of the Passover being observed in those days. In fact, I looked in the books of the Kings and the Chronicles, and it only 2 times is it mentioned that the Passover had to be reinstituted. 2 Kings and in 2 Chronicles. Because the people had forgotten about God. And Hezekiah, in his reforms, part of his reforms was to reinstitute the Passover. And there was great revival in the land, and they observed the Passover. But it took 4 generations, his son, no observance. His grandson, no observance. His great-grandson, finally, Josiah, reinstituted again the Passover. People had forgotten about God. The Passover again was reinstituted after the people came back to the land. When they were reminded of the feasts and those things that the Lord had given to them. And they began to observe those things again. But there was a long period of time where they didn't. Of course, Jesus, in instituting the Lord's Supper, was observing the Passover with his disciples. But we find that the Lord transformed that, and the Lord provided a table for you and I today. David spoke of that in the psalm. You have prepared a table. Don't forget, the Lord is the one who has bought your salvation. There's not a thing you can do or say, accomplish, that provides your salvation before God. And you can be a great person. You can be a morally high standard kind of person. You can be a great achiever. You can be a philanthropist who gives to everybody who ever walks up to you. But without Christ, you have nothing. God has given this table because God gave a Savior. And that man, that God-man, Jesus, came and established this remembrance at this table. I'm grateful that he provided. Just as he provided that skin for Adam and his wife, just as he provided that ordinance of remembrance for the Israelites after 400 plus years of bondage, he gave them a table. And they would all partake of that table. Jesus took the complex ritual of the Passover and brought it down to two simple elements. The bread and the juice, the wine, the fruit of the vine. The bread unleavened to symbolize the sinless body of Christ, and the fruit of the vine to symbolize the blood that would be spilled by Jesus. Two simple elements. And Christ simply calls us to take of them and to remember. And we do it at this table as believers. As those who've trusted this one who eventually would go and give his life, as he instituted this, he then went, offered himself up to validate the very covenant he was making with people through this table. Covenants were sealed with blood. Jesus certainly did that after he made this covenant. He went out and he volunteered himself willingly to be taken. God, pleased with that, raised him back to life, and so he had a very valid ordinance to pass on to you and I. And we can be grateful that the Lord has prepared this table. But if we look a little bit further, we find here before me, he's prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. David had many enemies. He was a man of war. In fact, his own people, Israel, were split in half. There was a northern kingdom and his kingdom. And many of those who weren't of Judah did not come and follow him. He had many enemies. But David acknowledged that in spite of that, God had provided a table for him. And David was a mighty king, and his kingdom stood, and his son's kingdom would unite all, and they would stand for a very long time. But David had enemies. Listen, the Lord has provided this table before us in the presence of this world. Not everybody in the world observes at this table. Not everybody is of Christ. In fact, I would even go so far as not everybody who comes into this building on a given Sunday is of the Lord. You know, some come here looking for something real, searching for truth. Some come here kicking and screaming because somebody else has dragged them here and they really don't feel comfortable and they really don't want to be here. Some come to observe. Maybe they've left their own church for a weekend to come and observe someone being baptized, special event. Not everybody in our midst is but an enemy. Even Jesus, among his 12, do you recall? Among his 12, there was one that was a traitor. Jesus' words about that one was in his prayer in John 17. He said, while I was with them, as he prayed to the Father, while I was with them, I was keeping them whom you gave to me in your name, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus in that time was fully aware of the plan that God had for him because he knew the scripture. He studied as a young man. He had communion with his Father on a moment-by-moment basis as he prayed, and he also was led by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, that's what he calls us to. He calls us to know his word. He calls us to have communion with the Father and be in prayer and to be filled with the Spirit so that we might walk like our Lord did. And Jesus himself had enemies. You and I can expect that we will have enemies, but God has provided a table. Regardless, your enemy might be sometimes yourself. As you wrestle with the old nature, the old man inside of you who desires to do the fleshly things, and you know those things. We had a good discussion in Sunday school this morning, and maybe you did too. There's the reality that we wrestle with life, that God is good in providing. He gives us of his Holy Spirit so that we can battle against the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we're reminded of that, this table that he's provided. So we think about the way he offered himself up as a sacrifice, and he set aside some things we can remember at this table he's provided. That's what he's called us to as well. Until that day that we eat with him, drink of the fruit of the vine again with him one day. Great promise that he gives us in this time at the table that he's provided. Remember, he began this thing saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall never be in want." There's not going to be anything that I'm going to have need of because the Father provides. And throughout the psalm, he talks about providing. Providing in the green pastures, the waters, providing righteousness, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. There's nothing to worry about, nothing to fear. And in verse 5, he's provided this table in the presence of my enemies and anointed my head with oil. The Middle Eastern tradition was that customary when a visitor came, you provided some oil, water for the feet to wash and some oil to refresh. We see in Scripture that the Spirit of God is what oil resembles and symbolizes. David would have the Spirit of God upon him at times as he went against that giant. The Spirit of God led him. In the New Testament economy, after Christ has ascended and the Holy Spirit has come to dwell with them believers, now we have the Spirit in us. We've been anointed. The people of God are anointed. Just as David said here, "You've anointed my head with oil. You have secured me. You have saved me. You have filled me. You provided for me. You've equipped me by that anointing. And my cup overflows." Every day I'm grateful to the Lord God. Not that I'm a preacher. I'm grateful to the Lord God that he saved my soul. That I was in wickedness, that I was going my own way, that I was accomplishing my own things, that I was my own person. I felt self-sufficient. I was independent. I didn't have to rely on others. And the Lord humbled me to know I needed him desperately. And ever since, trusting him, my cup has overflowed. I can agree with the psalmist. There's nothing I need. The Lord's my shepherd. He's provided every single thing that I have ever wanted or needed. And the things that I had in the past that I thought I was enjoying and were satisfying me, those are nothing. As Paul said, I count that all as waste. Now he's giving me something new. Praise the Lord. The Lord has provided a table of remembrance. We should humbly approach this table and acknowledge the great gift that God has given us in Christ, to even know him at all, and then to not only know him, but have our cup overflow, that we might be refreshed, encouraged, reminded, equipped, ready for the service he calls each one of us to, and that we are found good stewards of those blessings and gifts. Because this is his table, it has been prepared for those who've trusted him. their souls to His care, by admitting their sin, by turning from that sin and turning to Christ, trusting that His price of death paid the price for us and that He's raised to life now. So this table belongs to those who believed. And we're going to that table. But before we do that, I want to invite you to join me and take some time and reflect on our spiritual condition before the Father. The Apostle Paul, in correcting error in the church at Corinth regarding the Lord's Supper, he wrote these instructions in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23. He said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And then Paul goes on, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. And it's for this reason many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep, that is, a number die. But if we had judged ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're disciplined by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. The Lord gives us this table. He has provided it. He's done much to get us to this place where we would gather around it as believers. And he gives us opportunity for self-examination. Like the psalmist David, Psalm 139, he says, Lord, search me, try me, see if there's any wickedness inside of me, and then instruct me in the proper way. Before we take of the table, we have opportunity to examine ourselves and to entrust ourselves to the Lord. Let's do that at this time. Let's pray together. Father, we look to you this morning because you are the Creator and the God who provides. And Lord God, I thank you that you have turned the light on in many of our hearts so that we might know that we're in need of a Redeemer. I thank you, Father, for providing a lamb, a sacrificial lamb in the person of Christ Jesus, who would offer himself up and his blood be spilled so that it could be applied to the entrance to my heart when I trust you in repentance, commitment. And Father, I thank you that you also supply an eternity that I can't even begin to imagine, but that you give me assurances along the way as you do at this table and in the opportunities you present through life. Father God, I want to be found in a condition that's fit to meet with you at this table. I pray that you lead me to the place where I repent of sin. Lord God, that I yield to you, that I trust you, and commit myself to know you better every single moment of every day from this day forward. Lord, prepare my heart to be at this table that you prepared and be glorified through our time here. Be our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we think on this. I'll be here at the front to meet with anyone that needs to meet, to pray. The altar is open. Let's take time to prepare.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord, no
tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Our Father, we are grateful that we can call upon you any moment and receive your help. Thank you for being that rock of salvation, that place that's a refuge. Lord God, the cleft into which we can find ourselves hidden when all else fails. Lord God, you are good. And we pray this morning, Father, as we remember you, that you would stir our hearts, Lord God, to worship you and to adore you, and Lord God, to commit ourselves fully to you as we partake of these elements you've assigned for us today. Be glorified now through our time of this worship, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd ask our deacon body to come at this time as we prepare to distribute these elements. The Apostle Paul, as we read earlier, gave instruction to the Corinthian church regarding how to handle the Lord's Supper. I would read for you from Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, where the Lord Jesus says, Matthew writes, "While they were eating the supper, the Passover, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take and eat, this is my body.' And when he'd taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. And I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" What a blessing to have that model to follow. And Christ calling them to the purpose of those elements. Do you know that Jesus immediately went to his sacrifice? Those disciples had to remember what that supper was all about. And there were very simple words. And while it seems so simple, it's so meaningful for the believer. This time of communion with the Father, to remember we have indeed been sinners, washed and cleansed by him, and we have a promise of being with him forever. It is a beautiful remembrance. And while it's small, packed, and simple, it is so powerful. I pray we approach it as a powerful gift from God. If you're not familiar with these cups, I pray that you just be patient. The top plastic layer reveals the bread, and we will partake of that first. As the Lord Jesus, the scripture revealed to us, Jesus gave thanks, and then they ate the bread together. So, Father, we thank you for partaking, allowing us to partake of this bread, which symbolizes the body of our Christ, recognizing that he gave himself in our place for our redemption. And Lord God, we thank you for that sacrifice. As we eat this bread, we remember it. Amen. Let's eat together. Now for the juice, if you carefully pull the foil cover back, reveals. And again, scripture says that he gave thanks before they took of the cup. Father, we again thank you for this provision of this remembrance and this juice that reminds us of the spilled blood of our Christ, indicating that he gave his all, his very life, and covered our sin, like the blood over the doorposts of those homes at the Passover. And we're humbled, and we thank you, Father, for such a sacrifice. As we drink together, we remember. Amen. Let's drink. Brothers, you can go back to your families. Thank you for your service here. I do thank you for being here this morning. I'd like to ask Logan to come down and have a baptism certificate for him. And if he's still in the house, there he is coming down. And the Gideons have also provided a little New Testament Bible, and so that will be a gift to you as well. God bless, brother. Love you. I can tell the kids had a change when they actually hugged the pastor. Some of them run. Logan has come to hug me every single week, and that is a blessing. Be sure that you read your bulletin if you picked one up. If you're visiting with us, there's a little attachment there you can tear off. Fill out some information about yourself so that we know you were here. We're glad to have you. And that just reminds us you were here with us to worship. And so give attention to those. We will have evening service this evening at 5:30. I'll be preaching one more message. I encourage you to come tonight. There's also a collection for Operation Christmas Child set up in the foyer, and so please give your attention there. Teacher Luncheon for Appreciation is next Wednesday, August the 4th, which is a couple of weeks away. It'll be at noon at the Student Ministries building. And we encourage you to encourage your teachers and those serving our children this next school year to be there. The Institute of Creation Research will be here on Sunday, August 8th. In the morning time during the Sunday school hour, they will be here in the sanctuary to make a presentation. For those that would like to be here, please feel free to do that. And then in the evening at 5:30, they'll make another full presentation. And so I encourage you to be here that day. It's very informative to hear about how creation and scientists and the Bible can actually get along. And so it's a wonderful presentation. It will help confirm your faith, or maybe even turn the light on in you so you understand what God's creation is all about. So I encourage you to be part of that. And one other item here. Miss Kay Cope is director of the Helping Hands Ministry here in Edna, Texas. They have ministered on Monday and Thursday mornings from about 8 o'clock till lunch, 9-ish till lunch, somewhere in there. But they've had two volunteers in the last week that have had some injuries and are not able to come, and they were very hard workers. And so they've lost two very good volunteers for those morning times. If you happen to know somebody or could be a help to them, Miss Kay would love that very much. And so please, if you're able to do that, give attention to that opportunity for ministry. And I'll leave it at that. I will see you out in the hallway. And Alec, turn it over to you, Bubba. God bless you folks. Thank you for being here today.
Amen. Well, church, as we go, we're going to sing, "I'm So Glad I'm a Part of the Family of God." And Logan, I want to hear you, man. Loudest back there. Let's sing this together.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join us with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God.
Amen. Be blessed. Have a wonderful week.